Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we want to continue our discussion of learning how to deal with our emotions. For a number of weeks, several weeks here, we've been talking about overcoming in this life by learning to see reality as it truly is or the way things really are according to God. And part of that process involves learning how to deal with our emotions. Emotions are aroused by what we see and hear. They are spontaneous responses to the world around us. Although emotions were given to us by God, as with every other part of human nature, they've been corrupted by the fall, and they must be brought under the control of God's word. Now, in the last few lessons, we specifically discussed dealing with fear and worry by remembering God's word. This week, I want to begin to talk about how to deal with sorrow. We'll take a couple of weeks to work through dealing with sorrow. The dictionary defines sorrow as sadness or anguish due to loss. Everybody knows what sorrow is, but I always like to define words according to what the Bible says, or according to a dictionary, because sometimes it helps us be more precise. Sorrow is defined as sadness or anguish due to loss. A secondary meaning emphasizes sorrow for something that one has done wrong. And we'll discuss both kinds of sorrow, the sorrow that comes from loss and the sorrow that comes from having done something wrong. It'll take a couple weeks to get to that one, but we'll get there. Excuse me, there's all kinds of sorrow. There are degrees of sorrow, ranging from minor disappointments all the way up to major crushing grief. Grief arises from losing someone or something you love and value. Disappointment is aroused when you don't get what you were expecting or it is less than what you expected. Those are all different aspects of sorrow. Loss due to death and disappointment is part of the nature of life in this fallen world. We all have to deal with sorrow, grief, loss, disappointment. Sorrow came into this world at the fall of man when the curse of death entered this world. When Adam sinned, his sin brought death, and with death came loss, and with loss came sorrow. The word sorrow appears for the first time in Scripture in Genesis, when God spoke to Adam and Eve. After they had sinned in Genesis chapter 3, God came looking for them, and he explained the consequences of what they had just done, the consequences of their disobedience. I'm not going to read the whole passage in the interest of time, but in verses 16 through 19, God says to him, I'm reading from the Amplified, "In sorrow and toil shall you eat the fruit of the earth all the days of your life. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground." God told Adam that because of what he had done, a curse had entered the earth. It would now produce thorns and thistles, and he would have to work, labor, toil to get food out of the ground to eat. And it would be coupled with sorrow until finally he died and returned to the ground. Psalm 90, verse 10. This is the New Living Translation. It says 70 years are given to us. Some may even reach 80. But even the best of these years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear and we are gone. Boy, that's an accurate description of life. You know, sometimes that passage is used to say we're entitled to 70 to 80 years on this earth. And I agree with that. It's God's will to satisfy us with long life. That's a whole can of worms for another day. But oftentimes people don't include the second half of this verse. And it is that these years are filled with pain and trouble. If you've lived any time at all in this earth, you know that this is a rough world. There's more loss than gain. There's more pain than happiness. That's not a bad confession. That's just accepting reality of life in a sin-cursed earth. Man, if this life was all there is, it's not worth it. I'm old enough now to know that. When you're young, you think you're going to have a happy life and everything's going to go wonderfully. And I've had a wonderful life compared to most of the people who've lived on the face of this earth, because I was born in 20th century America, the greatest country the world has ever seen, in relative stability. I've never known a day of hunger, a day of lack. But life is hard and it flies by. I can remember my grandmother, when she was in her 80s, she used to say, I don't know how I got here. Time's gone so fast. And I was young and stupid and thought, you're old. What difference does it make? But I'm old enough now. I understand. I'm way closer to the end than the beginning. It goes by quick. If this life was all there is, it wouldn't be worth it. But the good news is the best is yet to come for those who know the Lord. I'm getting way ahead of myself here, but that's one of the ways you deal with the sorrow of loss, is to recognize there's more to life than just this life. But let's take this in a systematic way. The bottom line is, sorrow is not the plan of God for our lives. Sorrow is here because of the curse of death and loss that's in the earth because of sin, Adam's sin. When we lose someone or something dear to us, we experience the emotions stimulated by that loss, mourning, grief, sorrow. There's no avoiding these emotions. You know, sometimes I deal with a lot of people. Actually, I do a fair amount of funerals. If someone has died knowing the Lord, there's tremendous hope in the Bible in the face of that loss. But I encounter Christians that feel bad for feeling grief over the loss of someone they love. Never feel bad for feeling grief over the loss of someone you love. We were not meant to lose people we love. And when they go, it hurts. It's painful. That's not lack of faith. That doesn't mean you're a bad Christian. That's normal. Grief is real, and you have to work through it. We'll get to that later on in the week. But the point for right now is there's no avoiding these emotions. Because of the nature of life in a sin-cursed earth, we're all going to experience grief, sorrow, disappointment. Excuse me. But we have to learn to deal with these emotions. If we don't learn to deal with sorrow, grief, and mourning in a godly way, sorrow can become overwhelming grief that turns into despair and hopelessness. I've seen it happen, even amongst Christians, because they don't handle their grief according to the Word of God, and it turns into overwhelming despondency and hopelessness. Proverbs 15:3 says, by sorrow of the heart is the spirit broken. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred, how it crushes a man's spirit. Christians generally fall into one of two ditches in regard to dealing with loss, grief, and sorrow. Some, like I said a moment ago, wrongly believe that a truly strong Christian who is full of faith never feels bad over loss. I've had people who've lost someone dear to them say, I'm trying to be strong. I'm trying to be strong. Nowhere does the Bible tell you to try to be strong when you've lost someone you love. It tells you to sorrow in hope, and we'll explain what that means as we work through this. It says sorrow. You're truly sorrowful. Don't deny it. Embrace it, but sorrow in hope. And we'll elaborate on that. So some wrongly believe that a truly strong Christian who is full of faith never feels bad over loss. That's not true. Others are passive in the face of grief, or actually feed their grief, and they're not able to move on. I've met people like that where they never got beyond the loss. You don't get over the loss of someone you love. You adjust to it. You don't get over the loss of someone you love. You adjust to it. But adjusting to it can help you get through the rest of your life without them till you see them again. You have to learn how to adjust to it. And we're going to discuss all this. God has provision for us in the face of grief and sorrow over loss of someone or something dear to us. And his provision will keep us from being overwhelmed by hopelessness and despair. The Apostle Paul was one of the strongest, most effective Christians we know of, but he experienced sorrow and grief. I could read you a number of passages. When you read through the epistles the next time, take note. Romans 9, 2, 2 Corinthians 2, 3, Philippians 2, 27, 28. I'm not reading them in the interest of time, but he talked about being sorrowful. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, he spoke of being sorrowful yet rejoicing. The Amplified says, as grieved and mourning, yet we are always rejoicing. Knox translation says, sad men that rejoice continually. Now, we discussed this a couple of weeks ago. When Paul speaks of rejoicing, he's not talking about feeling good at the same time he's feeling sad. If something sad has happened to you, it's normal to feel sad. God does not ask you to deny it or to try to pretend you're happy. Paul spoke of being sorrowful yet rejoicing. Rejoice here means to be cheerful or full of cheer. It is a state of being rather than a feeling. Be glad, not feel glad. Rejoice, not feel joyful. See, when you cheer someone, what do? You encourage them by giving them hope. You can do it. You can make it. You can make it. See, you're not changing how they feel. You're encouraging them with hope. Paul wrote of rejoicing in hope in Romans 12:12. In the face and feeling of sorrow, Paul cheered or strengthened himself by calling to mind the reasons he had hope or an expectation of coming good. You deal with sorrow through remembering the hope that you have, even in the midst of your loss, or the expectation of coming good. Now, I'm going to give you specifics as we move through the week here. I'm just laying the groundwork here. Rejoicing is not emotional. It is the opposite of an emotional response to your situation. Emotions are spontaneously generated or aroused by what you see and feel, or by what you see and hear. But rejoicing is a volitional action. It's an action you can take in the face of any difficulty in your life. We'll pick it up right here tomorrow. Amen.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619. 19.